message now. Is it okay if we just pray for you?
Mm.
Yeah.
More than okay.
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. And God, we thank you that even though we can see all of this stuff going on in the world, that's really not cool. It's really not cool. But yet your word tells us that you are indeed seated on the throne.
Amen.
That every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. All will see how great you are, Lord. Mm. All will see what's been revealed to us in the book of Revelation, that there is a lamb on the throne.
Yes.
And there are beings more powerful than we are who bow down and worship and say, worthy, worthy, worthy. Because that is the reality that is happening in heaven right now.
Mm.
And we praise you, Lord, that that is true. And so, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you that it's like a hammer that breaks the rock. It's the sword of the Spirit. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would cut our hearts with the word, that you would come and do what you want to do, that you would divide soul and spirit, that you would anoint Rob, God, that you would give him great boldness, as he loves to do, to run, Lord, to run across the line and to preach what's in his heart. And I just pray for that for him, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless him and open our hearts, God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, this is my final and closing sermon, and it's the last one in Daniel. We got to the end, got to Daniel chapter 12, and Lord, we just pray for your anointing on each one here, in Jesus' name. Yes. Daniel chapter 12. At that time, Michael. Now, the name Michael means who's like God. who is like God? It is the question. God is just unique. He's magnificent. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. There will be a horrendous time of trouble for the Jews, your people. Jeremiah also notes this time in Jeremiah. Whoops, going back. Here we are. Jeremiah chapter 30. And now, ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with a child. So, why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Nations who hate God hate his people. Michael is the archangel who covers Israel. We've seen him before in the book of Daniel. There are ranks of angels who cover Australia, Darlington, and each one. Psalm 91, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. But we still have authority over our own lives to make decisions. Now, not every Jewish person is saved, but Israel as a whole will return to God. Romans 2:11. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened in Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Also, the days will be shortened for the elect's sake. So the church is present, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. Now, Jesus is teaching this. No, not ever shall be, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. These troubles are detailed in Matthew 24. The church will fall for political correctness and a huge deception. Christians must read the Bible and search for both the mind and the heart of God. Mind and the heart of God. When you're told in Mark 12:30, to love the Lord your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Okay? So with the, we search the Bible. When I first began reading through the Bible, I think I shared this ages back sometime. It was way back, about 1987. I was disgusted with myself because I'd failed three times, 3 years in a row. I'd failed and failed and failed. And God the Father was so loving. He said to me, the very fact that you have tried is fantastic. That year I succeeded. But don't give in just because you fail. I encourage you to read the scriptures. Read it through. And every year since 87, I read it through more than once every year. So what's that? 37 years of times I've read the Bible at least. When I was young, I wondered, why? What on earth was Isaiah through to Malachi was all about? I mean, you read the prophets and I didn't get it. And then it hit me. In there is the heart of God. When he weeps for his people, in there is the heart of God. And people, if you want to relate to God, you have to know his mind so you know the scriptures, but you have to link with the heart of God because that is relationship. That is, you know that because you know that from your friend, your close friend, because your close friend, you meet with them and you can open your heart to them. And God wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want a standoff relationship. He wants a heart-to-heart. He wants you to take your heart out. Remember when Jesus meets the woman caught in adultery? He says, where are your accusers? He said, they're gone. I don't know. Where are they? And he says, neither do I condemn you. My gosh, this is why he's our hero. Because there, he was the only one who could crush her heart. He was sinless. And he doesn't. He doesn't crush her heart. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. This is our privilege. This is our privilege as servants of the living God, as children of God, that you can take your heart out and he doesn't crush it. That is why you have to read through Isaiah through to Malachi. Because in those prophets, you read about the heart of God when he cries out, when the people forsake him and betray him and fall after other gods. You see the heart of God. I encourage you to read the scriptures. You know, in Philippians it says that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Your heart and mind is so desperately important. Let no one deceive you. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. There will be wars, famines, death, cosmic disasters. There will be persecution of all believers. Society will fall away with lawlessness, but the gospel will be preached in all the world. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn away many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This wisdom is not measured by how much a person knows. Rather, it is by our closeness to God. This closeness starts with the fear of God. Job 28:28. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Because if you never departed, you never understood. Wow. Why? Because it's linked right there to relationship. right there to relationship. Relationship is that we have become so tangled and glorify academia and degrees and all of that. But knowing about God is not where it's at. It is knowing God. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. What an amazing and glorious hope this is. We have this hope. The world has a fantasy for the dead, to do things like play golf in heaven, whatever. Their wish is completely outside any relationship with Jesus. Sadly, I had my nephew's son die. He was not a Christian. I beamed into it. It was in Queensland. So sad. A funeral for a non-Christian is just so empty and so sad. I remember my mum's funeral. It was a time of huge rejoicing and praise. It was all wonderful. People came out of it just so vibrant. It was alive. She loved the Lord. God says, the wise shall shine with the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. We have this hope, which is a solid rock in God. When we stand in the presence of God, nothing of this life will matter anymore. A funeral service for a non-Christian is so sad and completely empty. Paul writes, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Cannot inherit. They could try hard, cannot inherit. Cannot. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, we have experienced in our life many small changes in our life and some big changes, so that we catch a glimpse to understand this huge change. This is the big, big, big change. Leaving school, getting a job, getting married, losing a loved one are all changes to teach us that changes happen. A fundamental theorem in life is everything in the physical is given to us to understand the spiritual. Jesus teaches this theorem because he teaches in parables. He takes what is in the physical and links it to the spiritual. And people, that's why you have the physical. You have so many things in the flesh of your life. But everything is there to understand the spiritual. And that insight is given to you by the Holy Spirit of God. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 3. Cannot see it. Cannot see it. All your studies don't count. We will rule with Christ for 1,000 years. It says in Revelation, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Wow. And then Michael says to Daniel, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. This prophecy would not be understood until just before Christ returns. We are now in the remarkable age that travel is amazing. And information on the internet is just about unlimited. To actually place a man on the moon seems ridiculous even today to actually place a man on the moon. Many shall run to and fro. To be able to fly right across the other side of the earth in one day is ridiculous. Many shall travel, shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Daniel recorded this revelation for us. We worship a God who reveals secrets in the right time. Daniel himself could not imagine what we now can see and understand. People in our lifetime, in 1990 even, we had no idea of the internet and of the information that was on the internet. We had no idea. It's the 30 years ago. Bang. No idea that you could just Google it and get it. Google it and get it. Knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on that river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be?" Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the Holy Spirit has been completely, when the power of the Holy People has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, "My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" He didn't understand. Of course he didn't understand. There were no aeroplanes then. There was no internet then. And Michael says, and he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." It is interesting, isn't it, that while Daniel is given the message and obedient to deliver it, he's not given full understanding. How could he possibly understand air travel, modern warfare, computers? But he's obedient and faithful to his calling. People, there will be times when God will give us a task and we will not be able to see the outcome and we will not be able to understand. And it is not our place to say, "But I don't understand why you told me that. But I don't understand what will happen here. I don't know." No, 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 no. Obedience. Do it. Daniel is given the message for people who are living 2,600 years later. He had no idea, but he's obedient and he delivers for you and for me. Quite incredible. Obedience is essential. One day we will see the fruit of that obedience. We scatter tiny seeds by what we do and say. Mustard seeds, Jesus calls them, tiny seeds. Because God is the master and we are the servants, and we do not question it. We move out of obedience. None of the unsaved will understand what's happening. They will think the seals and the trumpets in Revelation are just bad luck. Just as Pharaoh did when he had 10 plagues. They did not see the judgment of God. They won't see it. They'll put it down to climate change. Try to fix that. They will try to fix the bad luck with money rather than turning to God. Australia is in that hole today. When the church is falling away, wars are taking peace from nations, there's widespread death, Christians are being martyred, and there are huge cosmic catastrophes. The wise shall understand. Only the wise will link the devastating events with the heart and the mind of God. That is why you have to read the scriptures. You've got to make that link. The heart and mind of our all-powerful, all-knowing God, who delights in loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Jeremiah 9 is an amazing verse because people miss out the judgment. So many churches have been diluted by political correctness. Loving kindness, yes, 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 yes. But when you read the scriptures, you see the judgment of God. And he says, in these things I delight. He who knows me knows this, he says. Knows that I am the God who delights in loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. In these three I delight. People, what do you want? Do you want to learn about God or do you want to know God? Knowing about God is so superficial. So many people know about you. They know what you do. They know how old you are. You know this, that, and whatever. But only a few people know you. Only a few people know you. And God wants relationship. Why have you got a friend? So that you understand the difference between knowing about and knowing. And from that time, that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. I gave you homework, and you saw in your homework that 3.5 times 360 is 1260. So 360 was the standard year, 12 months of 30 days, and then they had to adjust it, of course. So 1,290 is one extra month. 1,335 is 75 extra days. In Revelation 12, the woman, the church, is nourished and protected for 3.5 years from Satan. The church is in the wilderness where it's protected. Just as Christ's ministry was for 3.5 years, so the Antichrist will reign for 3.5 years. So what is the abomination of desolation? Abomination means it'll be loathsome and detestable. Desolation is the Hebrew word shamem, meaning to destroy, to lay waste, devastate, to the point of even being astonished. It was shown in the behavior of Antiochus Epiphanes. Everything which is holy will be attacked. So, the name of Jesus Christ will be a swear word. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Jesus Christ. A swear word. It's in entertainment. Just taken. People owning a Bible will be killed. Read Barnabas Fund. Read Open Doors. The murder of innocent babies will be protected. Marriage between a man and a woman has been given to mankind to understand the relationship between God and Israel and Jesus and the church, and it will be corrupted. When Antiochus Epiphanes came, the sacrifices were removed amongst believers. Doing things for God will be trashed or forbidden. When Antiochus Epiphanes came, he stripped the temple of $1 billion worth of gold. Worship will be corrupted. The heart of worship will be stolen. The first love will be crushed. We are warned in the scriptures about this first love. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Now, patient endurance is essential. Patience means to remain under, the Greek word metanoia, to remain under. There is an inheritance that awaits us. God the Father will welcome us into His presence. The Bible talks about the book of life containing the names of those who believe. We will have trials, but we must overcome them. In Revelation 3, advice is given to the dead church in Sardis. He who overcomes, wow, to overcome, you're going to have a trial. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Life has many batterings, but we must stay close to God. God delights in righteousness. People, you and I make 1 million mistakes, maybe 1 billion for me. But you have to overcome. Having been crushed, you get up, and having done all, still stand. You have to overcome. As we thank God, we see His hand in our life. As we repent, we see His mercy and correction. To aim to do something for God, we have to seek His heart. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done," the request is what we ask for has to be exactly in line with Him. How do you know it's in line? Because you have searched for the heart and the mind of God. If you search for the heart of God, what you request is His request. "Thy kingdom come." Not my kingdom, yours. Yours, always yours. Not my will, yours. "So I didn't understand what you told me? No, too bad. I will obey. Thy kingdom come." Matthew 24, Jesus teaches, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is in the housetops not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days." Yes. "And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. But unless the days were shortened, no flesh shall be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Jesus tells us that we don't know the day or the hour, just that it is imminent. Matthew 24. "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. And as the days of Noah were, and also will be, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore you will be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." You know, when Noah hopped in the ark, the flood hadn't started. That's obedience, isn't it? Something's going to happen. I don't understand. You kids and your wives, all 8 of us in the ark, get in. We've got the animals in. "What are we doing, Dad? This is absolutely stupid and crazy." "No, just shut up. Get in the ark." And then the rains came. We don't know the day that Jesus is coming, but the bride has to get herself ready. The bride has to be ready. Ready means obedience. Obedience and searching for a relationship with God. Now, it's vitally important that readiness is in terms of relationship, not just data and knowledge. The importance of education in our community has meant that we think that knowing means knowing about. But we know that our true friends can know very little of the data of our lives. Well, they can know a lot. No, they can know very little, but they still know us. We can bond with them. The intimacy of marriage in Genesis 4, right at the beginning there, Genesis 4, God writes, "Adam knew Eve." It's an intimacy where we are completely vulnerable, yet absolutely safe. So, we prepare for the coming of Jesus by drawing close to Him. I have given you, in my time here, 4 bedtime exercises which are vital for your growth. We must thank God for something in the day. Before you shut your eyes, you thank God. Otherwise, you don't review the day in terms of your relationship with Him. God has a relationship with us, and we can just forget about all of that. No, before you shut your eyes, first thing, you thank God. It can be something small, something big, whatever. Thank Him. Gratitude blesses a relationship. Gratitude kills grumpiness. Gratitude kills covetousness. Oh, why didn't I? Why can't I have that thing that that person has or what? Whatever. No, no, no. Lord, thank you for what you've given me. Gratitude, so different. We must apologize for something. If you know that you're a sinner, you make mistakes over and over and over again. You ready to correct? You ready to fall into the line that God wants you to fall into? Repent. Apologize. Say you're sorry. We must ask Him for something we can do for Him tomorrow. Because your life, people, is here to serve God. So you're not going into tomorrow blindly. You're saying, what can I do for you tomorrow? I'm seeing so-and-so. Can I bless him? Will you give me an alertness? Will you give me words to speak out? If there's a stranger, will you help me to help them? What do you want me to do for you tomorrow? And we must examine what we ask for him to do for us, to check that it's within his will, his kingdom. These four things are the bonds, the rope of a relationship: your gratitude, your humility, your desire to serve him, and your desire to do his will. The signs of the second coming listed there in the scriptures are the falling away of the church, wars, famines, pestilences, including global pandemics and earthquakes. Matthew goes further to state that false prophets will deceive many. Christians will be hated, arrested, killed. We only have to read the reports of Barnabas Fund, Open Doors. Cauldron Pool is really good too. Gladstone, Culture Watch, ACL. Lawlessness will abound and love will grow cold, but the gospel will be preached in all the world. So, in conclusion, what has God taught me in these studies of studies of Daniel? One, despite the horrendous start in life and ongoing battles, Daniel stayed loyal to God. Isn't that amazing? If I lose my country, my family, my culture, my manhood, my possessions, my freedom to worship, I must still remain loyal to God. People, when we close, which won't be long, I'll sing a song that I wrote, and the last line is a line of praise where I praise Jesus for being my teacher, my hero, and my friend. And the way that God teaches you is sometimes hugely impactful. There's a line in that song: days are filled with traps and with snares so that even the good times go wrong. And that lesson for me was when our daughter Lethe died in 1977. And the lesson came because I stood there in the kitchen and I spoke to Satan and I said, I will not allow you to use someone as beautiful as my little girl to turn me away from God. And sometimes these lessons are just tattooed, etched into your heart and your guts so that I will never forget that lesson. That was a lesson I will never forget. Never, never forget. He is our teacher, and sometimes the lessons are huge. Daniel went into the lion's den. There would have been terror when he went into the lion's den. You're trusting in God, Lord, if they're going to kill me, let it be quick. Just bite off my head quickly and that's it. I'm gone. Okay, who cares? Right. And then he's sitting there and waiting, and probably the lion comes up and licks his hand, you know, and pat him. Yeah, good old little lion. Yeah, have a seat, yeah. And he's there, And it's just amazing. And the lesson is, isn't it? I am the God who delivers you, Daniel. I am the God. The lions don't control you. I am the God. And the next morning, the king comes and releases him. Wow, what a lesson. Is he going to forget that in a week, in a month, in a year, in 10 years, in a lifetime? No. Some of the lessons are huge. They're etched into his guts and into his heart. And he remains loyal to God. You must remain loyal. Secondly, walking with God demands gratitude, humility, honesty, surrender, and an open heart to seek God and his will and his kingdom. Conversation is talking and listening. And people, we have to listen to the voice of God so that we can speak out what God tells us. Jesus teaches, he says, my sheep hear my voice. Prayer isn't all talk. Some of prayer is shut up and listen. What are you trying to say to me? What shall I do? What do I do? Idolatry is rife. Our culture is at war with God. The warfare is sometimes subtle, but getting blatant. We must look for and pray against it. People, you are in warfare. You bind spirits. You have the authority. All authority I give to you, Jesus says. Bind the spirits. If you see it in your family, you bind the spirit. We must pray protection over the four targets there, the head, the heart, the arms, and the bits that are vulnerable and vital in warfare. We live in end times. The signs are becoming more and more obvious, and as the bride, we must get ourselves ready. The temptation is to live in the present with no view of the future, but we are given tough times and trials to prepare us. Far more than anything I prepare in a sermon is the anointing of the Holy Spirit on those who listen. People, I've been a teacher for 40-something years, and I can give talks. I can tell you how to factorize a quadratic equation. I don't have to prepare that. But it doesn't link in. Sermons are not talks. Sermon isn't a talk that you give. Far more important is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not just on the preacher, but on each person there, because God only knows the needs of each individual. He knows the loneliness of each individual. He knows the needs. He knows the heart. He knows the troubles. He knows the trials. He knows the temptations. And the word of the living God, when it is opened, links with you individually. And that is what you ask for. God knows the needs, the barriers, the doors, the heart, the lives of a person. And not just preachers, but when we speak, we need God's anointing. When you go to the shop, when you go to work, when you travel in the car, whatever, we need to know when to speak, when to shut up, what to say. And you listen to God. Do I speak? Do I shut up? And God will tell you. Sue and I are so thankful for the love and the fellowship we have enjoyed at Darlington. She is very, very sad not to be here. She's very sick, and since she's had her spleen removed and pancreas chopped up, very sick, is now up a notch to very, very sick. She just, crumbles quickly. But we are both very, very grateful for our time here. We have enjoyed it much. And who knows, if I'm asked to speak, I'll certainly come. May God bless you as a church so that this light on the hill is never, ever extinguished. Finally, I must say to you, pray for God's covering and protection over Callan and Izzy and the family, over their finances, their health, safety, sleep, their walk with God. Curse every attack of the enemy that comes to them. Stand with them and pray and pray and pray. There is much warfare, people. There's much spiritual warfare. If you can't see it, pray and ask God to show you. He will show you. There is much spiritual warfare, and you need to stand and pray. Finally, and it's up to you, Beck, now to do the little clicking because I'm on the piano. Okay, so I wrote this testimony when I finished teaching way back in 17. Time after time, he has walked by my side when I was losing, burdened and down. He's never condemning, always forgives, releasing the chains that are bound. The days are filled with traps and with snares so that even the good times go wrong. But prayers are far more than words to impress, and hymns so much more than a song. I'm learning to see past the flesh in this life, past the red tape that crashes the slave, past the empires and mammon important to man, to the heart of my God who saves. And that is it. That's our education. We have to see the heart of God. What have I learned in the course of this life through the battles that tear me apart? Only God, my Father, can restore my soul. Only He can renew my heart. Some of you know or have sung the song before with me, so please join me and let's praise God with it.